Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Pomp and Joe. It's been quite a morning already, Bob. The 11 o'clock hour was absolutely incredible. I'm still trying to get over it. Meantime, you and I were part of a very special group. We're going to bring in Brian Batko on video in a moment here. Go to our YouTube channel to watch the show. Our ratings for the YouTube channel, our number of viewers has just absolutely exploded here. And it's a lot of fun, I think, to watch the show.
I think people do it at the office.
Yeah.
You know, maybe secretly or keep it on or whatever.
I think they do. Here's the headline. Penguins relaunch team's Hall of Fame with Jaromir Jagr and Tom Barrasso among the 10 new inductees. And those 10 new inductees, they're going to take, I think it was 20 people who are already in, but it sort of has lapsed the Penguins Hall of Fame a little bit. So they're firing it back up. So the previous 20 are grandfathered right into this newly launched Hall of Fame, plus 10 more that were voted in. And the players voted in are Barrasso, Ronnie Francis, Jagr, Chris Kunitz, three-time cup winner, Larry Murphy, and Kevin Stevens. And the builders are Scotty Bowman, Eddie Johnston, Jim Rutherford, and the late Ray Shiro. And part of the selection committee, I might add, Bob, not just people you may be familiar with, but also you and I. I guess people are familiar with you and I.
I thought this was an interesting exercise, you know, trying to
I thought it was a lot of fun, and
it was
honored. I was honored to be selected.
So was I. And you know, you go back, there's some names in there that I think will be coming up in time as these Hall of Fame classes go on, who richly deserve it, and they will get in eventually.
But absolutely.
But this was a catch-up kind of situation, right? They had to do it that way.
And I was honored.
I'm glad they're bringing it back, too. I mean, it's you gotta tap into your history, and the Penguins
have an unbelievably
rich
history.
Right.
So the voters were Phil Bork, Jen Bolano, who's been working in their executive offices for a long time.
Jen has been there forever.
Jay Caulfield, Michelle Cricciolo, who does, you see her on the scoreboard, you hear her all the time. She's great. Wes Crosby, no relation to Sydney. Bob Grove, Jenna Harner, we know. Dayon Madden, Ryan Malone, Tom McMillan, Molinari, Craig Patrick, Bob Pompiani. I'm going in alphabetical order here. Seth Rohrbaugh, Rob Rossi, Jason Spezza, myself and Andrew Stocky, Steige, and Matt Wenzel. But then I read the Post-Gazette thing, and it says representing the Post-Gazette on the voting committee is Matt Wenzel. Bob, did they forget about me? I also write for the Post-Gazette.
For the Post-Gazette,
yes.
But at least it's on the list. Your name's on the list.
It's on the list. I'm thankful that the Penguins put out the list with everybody on the committee. The Post-Gazette puts out a story and says representing the Post-Gazette, Matt Wenzel, period.
Yeah,
period.
And you have
all
some
the
of the
work
most,
I put in
you
there,
have most
Bob.
Read articles and columns of anyone.
It's unbelievable, Brian. The insult here. Let's bring on Brian Batko via video. Look at this,
Bob.
Oh wow!
Man.
Look at this guy.
Batkovian mongoose has gone nuts.
What is that?
Happy birthday, Mr. Starkey.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Where are you?
Yeah. What are you?
I'm at home. I'm in the study.
And what made you decide to dress like this today?
Austin told me it was Joe's birthday, so I felt like I needed to, appropriately honor that occasion.
What is the shirt? I can't really see it from here, even with my glasses on, but it seems very flamboyant. What's going on there?
It's a Hawaiian shirt, Hawaiian shirt. Mm. There's a bunch of Hawaiian shirts on the Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, look at that, Bob. Did you see that?
No.
There's Hawaiian shirts on his Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, there's Hawaiian shirts on the Hawaiian shirt. Yeah. Mele kaliki maka to you and have a Mai Tai.
Aloha.
Brian, I want you to reach behind you and grab one of the books. You have a library behind you. Don't look. Just grab a book without looking and tell us what the title is. Is it all sports books behind you there? I know you're a very well-read man.
Not all sports. Oh, hold on.
He has. You don't want him to look. He's going to have a rotator cuff injury if you don't watch this.
I know. This is.
Here we go. All right.
Okay. What do we got?
This is Matthew McConaughey's memoir.
Wow. Bob, he's a fan favorite, isn't he? He was in Marshall. Oh, we Are Marshall was a great flick.
Great actor.
I mean, he's been in a million things, but that just came to mind. He did a great job there as the coach, didn't he?
Why do you intrigued by him, or is it somebody gave you that book, or did you just?
My wife read this. Okay. So
yeah,
Green Lights.
I'd actually like to read that. He's a very intriguing guy. He's big into Texas football.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Dazed and Confused. Incredible movie.
Just incredible. He's very talented. All right, Brian. We're glad to have you. I appreciate the birthday wishes. You're the perfect guy to have on right now. Where do we start with the cuts? I guess the end of the DeMar. How will you remember the DeMarvin Leal era? And what about the punting situation? And who else is on the chopping block here?
The DeMarvin Leal era, I remember thinking, I didn't love the pick at the time, but he had pedigree. He was a former five-star coming out of high school and was one of those super athletic defensive linemen. But then you start and I also remember about him, Joe, if you would look at like the way too early mock drafts before that college football season, he was always in the first round. He was like a top 10, top 15 candidate. So then I was sort of wondering, all right, what happened that this guy fell to the third round? And, you know, he showed some flashes, I think, as a rookie. And then he got injured, and it seemed like he just never really got back on track. So I think a player like him, there's a fine line between versatility and not having a position. And unfortunately for DeMarvin Leal, at least here in Pittsburgh, maybe he could get a change of scenery, but he fell more into the camp of just never had a true position.
All right. Joe mentioned the punting situation. I found this intriguing. And they ended up going with Corliss Waitman for a lot of reasons. I think one of them that people may not talk about is the fact that he held all last year for Chris Boswell, and he had to do it because obviously Johnston got injured. Johnston had the pedigree. He has a longer resume. What do you think it really came down to, and how many factors were involved in this decision?
Yeah, I said this yesterday with the PM guys, and, you know, Pony does what Pony does and tweeted out some of my quotes and, you know, the most incendiary topics that he could think of. And then that just leads to people absolutely trying to dunk on me on Twitter for the next several hours. He did not tweet out me saying I would put my weight behind Waitman, which is not a lot because I'm not a large man. But I told them, I thought, you know, the Steelers pride themselves on, if you go to a Mike Tomlin practice, he's standing there saying, punting and gunning, quality punting and gunning. They think they have great gunners. I assume Ben Skowronek will be one of them. Maybe James Pierre, if he makes the team, or Brandon Echols will be the other. But they think they can get down there. And in that scenario, if it's close, which I think it was between those two, although maybe it wasn't if you believe Adam Schefter's report that the Saints inquired about Waitman and they didn't want to trade him, because then it would have been, hey, 50-50 split, we'll just take whatever we can get for either one. And they clearly wanted Waitman, and there's really no substitute for being able to boom a ball 65-70 yards and really flip a field. I think Mike Tomlin values that.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it had to be a tough decision to make, because I know they really liked Cam Johnston coming into this thing when they first signed him, and then this all happens. It goes to show you how fleeting it could be to have a career like that.
And the holding thing is kind of like if it's not broke, don't fix it. I mean, right. Chris Boswell just came off his first all-pro season, and, you know, Cam Johnston's a vet. It's not like he'd be a rookie coming here. I remember Presley Harvin III, I don't think, was very familiar with holding when they drafted him, so there was a little bit of a learning curve. That's not the case with Johnston, but, man, in that position, I mean, everything in the operation, you want it to be as crisp as it can possibly be. It was last year with Waitman for Boswell, so full speed ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Talk about Mark Robinson, because he's a guy they've kept around, got some special teams, but he was just one of those guys. I don't think he ever took off. I don't know if you'd expect him to. He was not a high draft pick, but Mark Bruner's son came in here, Carson, and he was all over the place that we noticed on special teams. Was that the decided edge for him?
Yeah, maybe that in youth. And, you know, to be fair, we don't know for sure if Carson Bruner's making it yet. They've still got to make some more cuts. But I think a lot of people assumed they would keep five inside linebackers, and that last spot would come down to those seventh round picks, Robinson from a few years ago and Bruner from this year. I just tweeted out my final roster projection, which I get it's a little bit late now, but you'll have to trust me as a man of integrity. I did this a day or two ago, and you can tell that I'm not fudging it because Mark Robinson was on there. I thought they would pick Robinson. You know, he had two forced fumbles last year. I think when you have a knack for doing that, the Steelers, you know, they really want to keep you around. But Bruner's really good at special teams too, and they knew that about him coming out of Washington. And when Mike Tomlin talked about them drafting him on merit and not just because it's a cool thing for the family and the franchise, he spoke of all of his special teams experience, and they put him right in that 44 Tyler Matakevich jersey, another former seventh round pick. Huh. And I imagine they envision Carson Bruner being the next dirty red for years to come.
Football, you're justice. Insulting my football justice.
No, I'm insulting your integrity. Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Brian Bacco, the Post Gazette. Check it out on video. Check him out on video on our YouTube channel. Also on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Brian, how will you remember the Max Hurlman era?
Well, that was like one of the big features I did during camp this year. I mean, you know, in this beat writer job, you always kind of like try to find a fun story and pick one of those camp phenon type of guys who's been a pleasant surprise. And I really like Hurlman's journey. He was a running back at Colgate, and he actually almost played lacrosse before he decided on college football. Colgate used him at running back. He wanted to try his hand at a bigger school, walked on to Notre Dame. They were like, don't even bother with offense. We'll use you as a backup cornerback, and you can play special teams, maybe return some punts. So then the Steelers kind of get a look at him at his pro day, and they liked what he could do on offense. And I thought he did make some plays as a slot receiver, but ultimately not quite enough to crack that position group and crack this roster. But I think he has a pretty good chance of coming back around on the practice squad.
Brian, how will you remember the Kenny Pickett and Deontay Johnson era in Cleveland? I mean, the Kenny Pickett story in Cleveland is just ridiculous. But the fact that they're both gone now from that franchise, to me, is such a sad reflection on that five-year window of Steeler drafts, the last five drafts for Kevin Colbert. Obviously, Mike Tomlin heavily involved. He made the Pickett selection. My God, this was the Steelers' go-to combination, you know, 10 minutes ago, and now they're both gone from Cleveland. What happened here?
The funny thing about it, too, is, like, for whatever reason, this offseason, the Browns decided to try to squeeze, like, 3 or 4 years of Steelers' ignominious moments into one, you know, two-month span. I mean, I don't understand what they were doing all along, either. I remember thinking that's such a bizarre pairing to reunite, because I don't think Kenny Pickett and Deontay Johnson were often on the same page here. And I think there was maybe a little bit of mutually assured destruction there between those two as well. It obviously didn't go well for either one.
And Pickett, of course, traded to the Raiders.
I was surprised it was a fifth round pick. I didn't expect that.
But go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
Yeah, that is kind of wild, too, that Kenny's actually never been cut, right? He's been traded thrice, but he's never been released. So he still is on his, he's still got that going for him, I guess. Jalen Ramsey also never been a free agent. He's been traded three times, too, right? So They've got that in common. I don't know. The Deontay Johnson thing, is this finally the end of the road? I mean, last year was so embarrassing for him with the Panthers shipping him off to Baltimore. And the issue with him not wanting to go in the game for the Ravens, he's someone who it started obviously in his time here, but he just lost the plot, guys. I mean, he completely, I think, lost what it means to put team success first and not chase the stats, chase the individual success and chase the bag. He got the bag in 2022. And as I tweeted, what a doomed few months of moves for the Steelers. They take Kenny in the first round, then they give Deontay the new contract. And yeah, now 3 years later, both are kind of, I don't want to say a laughing stock. Kenny sort of is in a better situation now, but Deontay Johnson's career has been really star-crossed.
Wait, he may be traded again. Who knows the way it's going? Aiden O'Connell comes back from his injury.
Yes.
Is he the backup, or who's the backup?
They have more experience with O'Connell, but I guess if Kenny gets a chance, you know, maybe he'll be able to get in there. I mean, I do think this is this has to be a better situation for him than Cleveland, right? I mean, that was a mess with the four quarterbacks. He hurt his hamstring and lost his inside track on the starting job. And at least now you're one Geno Smith, you know, calf tweak away from being in the game. And, you know, of the Kenny Pickett era in Pittsburgh, the game that he played against the Raiders on Franco Harris night was probably one terrific. Of the high points yep. for him, honestly.
Great touchdown pass on a slant over the middle to Pickens.
Did he not have a good game on the road against the Raiders? Am I misremembering that?
I was just going to say,
Calvin Austin.
Vegas,
yeah, that
yeah.
one too. That
yeah,
was the
Vegas,
long
that
might touchdown.
Have been the best throw of yeah. his NFL career.
That was the long touchdown, yeah. But it's interesting to see what he's going through. And how do you think his career will play out as the you know, the longtime backup who made a lot of money along the way? Or will he eventually ever get a shot? And will it take an injury to get one?
I mean, you never know if you'll get a shot because of injury. But, yeah, I think the most realistic scenario is career backup. And you know, there's really no shame in that. Guys like Colt McCoy and Case Keenum and Josh
Daniel.
Johnson. And nowadays, yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, Jacoby Brissett. Right. Like, that's good money. That's good work as long as you can get it. Because it's not as easy as it sounds. First-round picks are always going to get more bites at the apple. But we've seen guys like that flame out, too. Whether it's, you know, Josh Rosen or – you know, who are some other, like, he wasn't a first rounder, but another Pitt guy, Nathan Peterman, he stuck around for a little while, but he's gone now. Yeah. So, you do have to keep stacking good years of practices and being a good presence in the quarterback meeting room and all of that. So I do think Kenny will have that going for him. And that could be, you know, that might not be the worst thing after the way he flamed out in Pittsburgh.
All right, Brian, apparently you're going to stick around, which we're very glad about, and I want to pick up on the theme of quarterbacks and ask you about Tomlin's comments on Will Howard and what that might mean for Skylar Thompson. Also, who's still on the bubble here? Brian Bacco joins us via video for the rest of the 11 o'clock hour. It's a rare little Tuesday treat.
What
Tuesdays,
a treat.
Tuesdays with Batco.
How about that?
Did you read that book by Mitch Albom, Bob?
Tuesdays with Batco?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know.
Wonderful.
Might be back here somewhere. I don't know.
Next to the Matthew McConaughey book.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.